Hey guys, welcome to the next shot. Today we spoke a little bit about what happened at the Open last week. Also, how golf and other sports might not be as relatable in the golf world to other sports as it is to other sports to the golf world, and how we can improve upon that. Then a couple other stuff, just having some fun. So I hope you guys enjoy, and we'll talk with you soon. Welcome back. What's going on? So our Open picks did not win.
No, I didn't see it. No, terribly wrong, especially Tiger Woods. There was actually a lot of people who missed the cut. Tiger, Phil, those were the two big ones.
Well, that was the first cut they missed in 83 majors.
Yeah.
Out of the time they've started playing golf. They started playing golf on tour.
And Phil's kind of been playing pretty decent golf. He won earlier at Pebble this year. You know, back in January.
Decent golf he's played all year.
And, well, I mean, he's been talking about speed. He had the match against Tiger. He's been on the CBD kick. He's hitting bombs.
He's hitting bombs doing fireside. He's his fireside talk with Zach Johnson.
Oh, I haven't seen. No, not Zach Johnson. I saw the one with his mom.
Yeah, there's one with Zach Johnson and then somebody else. But, yeah. Anyway. But it was cool.
Yeah, talking with just both those guys, they really showed more like a different side of themselves the last year or two. Yeah, they seem more grateful.
Yeah, it's a little different for sure. Yeah.
Phil's just probably a little more chill. He realizes, I think both of them realize that their days are coming to an end. They're getting old.
Yeah, golf world, 40 years old, you're dead. No.
It's tough to win on, so they're getting some reality set. You can only play in so many more U.S. Opens.
That's true.
Majors, because they're looking at majors. Not so much winning the St. Jude Classic that's this week.
Are they playing in that?
No.
I didn't think so. I didn't look to the field at all.
It's just one of the scheduling with like the British, and then you put WGC the week after.
Oh, it's WGC. That's WGC. Okay.
WGC, so it has...
Because that's because they're not doing it at Firestone anymore, right?
Yeah, kind of switch around to sponsors and stuff, so I'm not sure who's... So we might need to be a first-time winner.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look at the field this week. After the Open, I'm kind of exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, watching that. For Shane Lowry, he put Team Trix on at least. We got the W. That was cool, though, to see him and Graham at the end, too, our Strixon guy.
Yeah.
Congratulating his family and stuff. And you kind of learn more about Shane Lowry, really.
Yeah. I didn't know much about Shane until that tournament. And, like, he seems so humble. Yeah. During that whole time, after that 63 on Saturday, which felt like more that Sunday vibe to me during the tournament, I was watching it at home while I was trying to get my back to move after last week's excursions of my back locking up. And I'm sitting there and I'm just watching Brooks and Rose play against each other and listening on the radio on another portal. And it just had it had the vibe of a Sunday. And then actually Sunday, I'd wake up the next morning. I look, Shane's up by six. I'm like, well, I have no point to watch this event at this point in time.
Which is interesting too. He said the first tee shot, he was so nervous.
Well, that first tee shot, I mean, that first hole in general would have changed the whole dynamic of the tournament. Fleetwood had a putt for birdie. I mean, Rory made a huge number on that. I mean, he completely ruined his week for that first day.
Yeah, 1-18. He played at 7 over.
Yeah, he was, what, 5 over for the last 3 holes, too?
Yeah, something of that nature. To where that was a huge turning point. Yeah. His first shot.
So, and then he had to make an 8-footer for bogey, and Fleetwood had, like, a 10 or 15-footer for birdie or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Fleetwood ended up missing, and he ended up making that. That would have been – he was up by 4 at that point in time. That would have been a 3-shot swing. That's a whole different ball game, really, especially with the way that weather was. Uh-huh. So it was cool to see him be able to pull it out and be able to kind of hold his own, just close out the tournament.
Yeah.
Because that could go real quick the other direction. And then partying with the Clarence Jug was like the biggest – I literally wanted to be Shane Lowry that whole –
Then he withdrew from you supposed to play this week in WGC. I was like, dude,
I'm still hungover from the Guinnesses out of the Clary Jug. I'm all right. I'm going to hard pass.
You win Open Champion Golf for the year. I'm going to take the next week off.
I'm going to take it, yeah. I'm going to be drinking for the next month.
I'll enjoy that. But what's cool about social media is like they keep showing pictures on with whatever you follow, if it's PGA Tour, about people. Gary Woodland, though, they kind of express their thoughts through the media, and then so you kind of get to know the players more, because otherwise you'd have no idea that he was so nervous on the first hole.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Gary Woodland said something like that when he was back playing in the at Pebble and stuff, he can kind of get into the players' minds. That's why I brought up Brooks Koepka too, because he got paired to J.B. Holmes.
Those memes were so great all week. Yeah.
For the final round, and kind of, I thought he had the strongest mental game going past few years, because he's just been murdering.
He's been the most dominant in the majors, and it's just, he is. He didn't win Blake of the Year, by the way, from PTI.
No.
Not PTI, but part of my take. They do the Blake of the Year Award. I don't know if you follow them at all.
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's between Blake Griffin, Blake Bortles, and now Brooks Koepka, because he's the Blake of golf.
Oh.
So he didn't win. He didn't answer the phone fast enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely has the mindset that you haven't seen from a player in a long period of time, where it doesn't look like anything affects him out there, but
except for pace of play, though, they kind of threw him off his game, which I was surprised. I'm like, what the heck? Obviously, JP's notorious for playing slow. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't even look at the shot or anything. He doesn't get his glove on before it's his turn to play. That's what kind of upset him the most. Like, yeah, he's not even thinking about it. As soon as he, like, if you're waiting, usually you're already kind of picking out your club, you're knowing your yardage and stuff. He literally does nothing until it's his turn to play. So,
is it my turn to hit?
Yeah, so then let me strap on the glove. What do you got? 7-iron? Is the wind into me? Then he goes through his whole thing. That's why he plays so slow.
Yeah.
And it's just, but that seemed to rattle him, which I was surprised, because that one and a half.
Anything has rattled him. In
a long time.
Really, in any of the majors that he's played in the last two or three seasons.
No, he says he gets bored with them, and he hit balls faster, too, and stuff. Like, he's just kind of going through the motions, wanting to get it over with, to where they're talking. Like, I don't think – you never saw it happen with Tiger.
No, I mean, you're not going to see another Tiger. We were watching that last night, the Road to 82 that thing on Golf
Chasing
Channel.
Chasing 82.
Chasing 82.
Yeah, just all the wins and how many putts he made. Good God, from, like, 20 feet.
Good God. Good God.
15, 20, like all the shots he hold out, chips and stuff that he's hit his highlight reels for hours.
Oh, man. I went and saw Jimmy today. Dr. Jimmy, the wizard. And working on my back. We love you strong time. And we were talking about certain things like that and just how everything has to go right. Like that putt on 6 or that chip on 16 where maybe Steve doesn't clean the grooves properly and the ball doesn't check as hard as it did. Or maybe there's a blade of grass standing up that is just the sun sitting at the right point where that holds that ball up from going in.
Right.
And it just changes the whole dynamic, the whole, like, the feel of Tiger Woods in those types of moments. And, like, everything had to go so right. Mm-hmm. And how often he was able to create it. Like, we were talking about last night where all the chip-ins you have on practice and all those things, and, like, him being able to do it the highest portion.
Just do it at that time, final round.
And for how long he did it. He did it for a decade straight.
Yeah, it just wasn't like two or three wins, like that. Not to throw Jordan under the bus, but he had that bunker shot.
Season,
you know, yeah, he's won like the Travelers and I think it's John Deere or whatever. But he had two of them where big sand saves. The one where he chest bumped with
That was the Travelers, and then
the Travelers,
and then the John Deere. His first one, he holed out from a greenside bunker to win.
Yeah, so that's happened twice, and that's awesome. But the Tiger's done it like,
and that was in the
magnitude of times.
I was in a 14-15, wasn't it? Wasn't it 14 when he got his first win in the John Deere, and then the 15 season when he went on his just crazy putting run?
Yeah.
Where he just rolled everything in.
To do that so often, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
You listen to, there's a conversation I heard him have about his putting from the 2015 Masters and the 2015 U.S. Open, and he compared his putting on the same putt lab system for those two tournaments. I think he did it right after he won the Masters, and he did it right after he won the U.S. Open. So it's going to be a little skewed. It's obviously not like completely perfect, but his numbers were completely different. This kind of shows you that the technique, I mean, it remains somewhat the same, but like the pace of the stroke, the length of the stroke, things were just different for him, and he had similar outcomes. Just his mind was just in a much different spot that year.
He's probably seeing the lines.
He's
then just had a really good feel to where
he just probably thought everything was going in. I have no idea. Yeah. I'm just making complete assumptions.
Right.
You don't win majors without just seeing everything happen like before it actually happens. Like having everything, you hear every single great player talk. It's like they talk about the pictures in their mind and like seeing things prior to like a manifestation of things. To where they're able to visualize and understand and believe that that thing's going to actually happen to where it does happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like he has that right now. And his swing hasn't changed. I mean, it looks
Full swing wise
looks the same. Technique for the putting looks fairly the same. I mean, his mannerisms are a little bit different. He looks a little bit more frustrated. Looks a little bit more lost
right
now.
Like he's not patient. Yeah, the mindset of it.
In
like
comparison to where things just seem to go really, really right for.
If you make 20 to 30 footers like he did, yeah, you're going to win a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy to think that Tiger did that.
I think, usually with that, it was like if you're long putting, that's tempo, in my opinion. It's where you can control speed better.
Yeah, speed.
You know, but if your speed gets off, then your tempo is probably off.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's not too many variables that happen.
I mean, you can think that there are,
but. Yeah, you three putt just because of your speed. It's not like you're missing start lines. It's majority
not
of the time.
At that level, for sure.
Well, anybody, really, from like 20 to 30 feet.
Yeah.
It's because they hit it 10 feet short. You know, you could hit it 2 feet left of the hole and be fine. If your lag putting's that good, you're not going to have a lot of three putts. Unless you swipe it away.
Yeah, unless you quick rake it.
Quick rake it. Which Rory.
Did you see Phil doing that in the practice greens?
Yeah. Pro level quick rake. Pro dude. Not even 3 feet by.
Oops, scoop it back. Oops, scoop it back. That was the funniest thing because I saw it on the Club Pro guy. He posted it and he's like, Phil, I like what you're doing this week.
That's why his time's coming up.
But going into kind of like that type of like mindset and that type of thought process, Tiger's the only, this kind of goes into the conversation I was having earlier today, Tiger's the only person that you can really think of that doesn't really have a sport that he was really dynamic in other than golf prior
to just
like golf was everything. He might have played a little bit of basketball and stuff like that here and there, but it was just his whole focus was golf. And we were just talking how athletes, you don't typically see athletes gravitate towards another sport after failing at golf. Mm-hmm. You typically see athletes gravitate towards golf after failing in a specific sport. Myself, for example, I'd much rather be playing basketball than golf at 30 years old. Like, 100%. I'd rather be in the NBA being a scrub player in the NBA or a D-League player.
Maybe the Suns got some open tryouts.
But, like, that was, like, every single day going to bed, like, I was praying. Like, I was like, I hope I'm tall enough to join the NBA, or I hope I'm big enough, I'm hoping I'm strong enough, I'm hoping I'm talented enough. But I mainly wanted the height. And I got to be 6'5", and never got the other skills. Didn't quite get there. So like, yeah, I fell short as an athlete in that sport and gravitated towards golf because I was able to compete still in that sport. And it was like the conversation went into, is golf a top tier sport or is golf a second tier sport? Like, is it just slightly below?
Yeah.
The football players.
I would say it doesn't require as much athleticism.
A little bit. There's a lot of athletic skills that go into it, obviously.
Yeah, there's more in other sports. Like, you can't be 5'5 and play in the NBA. It's very rare.
I mean, you can, but, like, it's very rare.
Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, and when, I mean Isaiah or, and like, a couple of guys like that.
We'll say 5 foot.
But very, well, it's very.
There's strengths that help you out.
For sure. There's certain things that you kind of need
that if
to
you're
be able to. You're not going to be a 5'3 quarterback.
Yeah,
it's just not gonna happen. Or running back, like you gotta, you can't perform at that high level being that height.
Yeah, if you're 6'7" and 240, you got a good chance of being tight end.
Yeah,
that'd be really good. Other sports, you wouldn't.
And what? And your background growing up was mainly tennis. Your main sport.
Yeah, to where that's. I mean, there's been a core of just Federer, Djokovic, and. Nadal just dominating the last X amount of years. They've won everything.
Yeah. Did they? Was that like their specialty sport growing up and everything? I'm not too
for sure.
In tennis,
Roger was, but they kind of all play a little different because Nadal hits it a little bit harder. He's a little bit more athletic.
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying he's probably got a soccer background being from Spain, right? He played a lot of soccer.
Same, I think, Federer as well. But Federer's not the strongest, but he moves, it just plays different. He covers court so much differently.
And would you compare these two sports, golf and tennis, more so as tactical sports?
Yeah, absolutely. Compared to football, baseball, your core sports, that
you can get away with a little bit more athleticism and brute force.
Yeah.
Than you can certain.
Yeah, because you don't have to have 30-inch vertical.
Yeah.
It helps. You'll hit it farther in golf, but it's not required. There's different things. I think that's why the brain and mindset comes in so much more in golfing and tennis, kind of like those club sports, those leisure sports compared to your team sports.
So how would you go about, because we always want to train the athlete first. We always preach that in the world of golf, especially now as you develop athletic skills in juniors and get them to be top tier level athletes to perform golf at a high level later in their life and also other sports. But why haven't we ever actually taken the tactics of really not so much thinking the athleticism of golf, but more the mental process of golf and the tactical thoughts of golf and how to slow your thinking down and then implement that into other sports. Mm-hmm. So like the way that you see Tiger or Brooks take that mindset and take that thought process going into their games, going into performing for 4 days or a week, prep work and all that other stuff, the thoughts, the tactics. And in my mind, what I'm seeing in my mind as an athlete is Tom Brady.
Right.
Like Tom Brady would be that guy as a golfer that could take like those strategies and place them into football and become more of that tactical breakdown type
player. Probably why he has so many rings.
And Jordan was the same way from watching when I grew up. Jordan was that tactical person that broke down. He knew what you were going to do prior to you knowing what you were going to do. And he could see it.
Same with Federer.
There's
a correlation here between all these top athletes in these sports is they have a lot of athleticism too, but their mental side is a lot. They've learned how to kind of play a game of chess against other people.
Yeah.
And then golf, it's just playing chess against the golf course.
And this might be a skewed thought just from the conversation that we're having, but...
Possibly.
What if we were to think of golf differently in that sense, in that mental sense, and instead of, I understand training the athlete first and getting them to be athletic because it has become such a power-driven game.
Yeah.
To where, what if you were to say, okay, that's fine and dandy. You're going to be able to, like, I would say majority of people that play other sports growing up are able to generate power.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, how many guys are out there right now that can hit it 285 to 2 or to 310 in the air with a driver? Most of the guys on tour now, right? Basically everybody. You can go to any range here in the valley and see.
Yeah, 280 is nothing.
Yeah, it's just kind of a normal thing now. Yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't say it's the technology. The technology has helped increase that distance, obviously. The athletes really haven't changed in my eyes that much. The guys, I mean, the records that you see in certain track sports and things like that really aren't that much. Like, it's not like astronomically different. It's definitely that they're able to like be more durable. There's more information backing it. But like nobody talks about training that mindset, training like how to get into, other than maybe like Division 54 girls.
That I know, yeah.
But it's only been able to really, like, it seems like that only has been working well for the LPGA.
So to say. Yeah, because, I mean, going through to the TPI junior development and stuff, you want to be able to train them in all different sports because it's a lot easier if you take an 18-year-old who's a three-sport athlete. I can teach them how to hit a ball in a club very fast compared to somebody who's only, let's play, maybe they just skateboarded. They started skateboarding at 10 years old, and then they want to learn how to golf at 18.
Yeah.
Because then you have to – they don't have those skills.
Yeah, they don't have the striking skill. They don't have –
catching, throwing, hand-eye coordination a little bit. They have good balance. So you can always pick up different things. They have good balance if you can skateboard.
I mean, they probably have really good – I was never a good skateboarder, so I don't know. But they have to have good body control. Good balance, obviously, right?
Some spatial awareness.
Some depth perception to understand the height of the things that they're trying to jump on and all that stuff.
So you can kind of take those pieces and apply it into a golfer. So there's always kind of those things. But ideally, if you played like five sports, you have athletic body, boom, that's easy. Because then you have the rotational, vertical, chopping, lifting, all different power sources that they already know how to do in different sports. And then you can train them through those coaching cues.
Yeah.
You could be like, jump higher or whatever. If you played tennis, you'd hit a forehand, go low to high across the body, because when you finish a golf swing, it goes over your left shoulder.
Yeah.
So it'd be easier coaching cues so they can pick it up. They're like, oh, yeah, it's just like, and this.
Speaking their language in a sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That, and compared to somebody who doesn't do it at all.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. A lot easier to get somebody to get to hit the golf ball forward, but then like going the strategy and the chess match of the golf and understand like if you do hit a bad shot, how you're you talk to it probably more than anybody I've ever heard talk about it, the post shot reaction.
Oh yeah.
It's like how the mannerisms of the person is after the reaction. Yeah,
5 seconds basically after you hit a shot is the most important. You can either react to it positively, negatively, you can get upset. Stenson broke his club after he shanked it on whatever hole, the final day at the Open, 17, 16, whatever. 17, then he's like, he's not going to use that club again. Well, no shit. He broke it. But he just shanked it out of the, and that kind of shows you, like, the pro golfers, they miss shots too. Just their misses are really, really good. A lot of their misses are better than most players' good shots.
And they know, and they've done the research to understand on the specific course that they're playing that week where to miss, where to place the golf ball, to where they have the best chance to get up and down at said pin location. Obviously, most of the weekend warriors aren't going to go into those depths.
Yep.
But to understand like
how it happens, like Spieth at the Masters on 12 when he hit in the water, oof. Feel bad, but I called that one.
Yeah.
When we were watching it, I'm like, he's gonna hit the. He dropped it from whatever 67 yards in that drop zone. I'm like, he's gonna lace out over this ball. Yeah, there's no chance. I'm like, he's gonna, because he just looked visually off. We could see it in his eyes and his body language that he kind of went into a fight or flight mode, and he was not where he was. Like if he's on the range with his coach, hitting balls, he was out of his zone completely. So if he would have managed that and understood why, because he had two balls in the water then.
Yeah, he hit the tee shot, then the water, then he hit the wedge shot from about 60 yards or 70 yards, whatever it was, into the water. Then he blew it over the green into the bunker, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So total just blow up.
That's just three really god-awful golf swings for a player that's won multiple majors.
Yeah, and obviously his technique didn't change.
No.
There's nothing. That happened within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That happened all and between
he was,
his
I
ears.
I think he was leading at that point in time, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was leading or maybe a shot off something. He's in contention. So that's where
he was playing pretty good golf for 3 days.
Yeah, like, so you hit a bad shot, you can either use that as like a learning experience, but okay, why'd I shank it? Well, there's two ways to shank it. You know, it's like you open the club face too much, or you're standing too close to it. So what would you do on the next shot? Probably going to stand farther and just keep the club face closed, and then okay, where's it go from there?
If you look at that golf swing, he looked like he was trying to play a fade. And then that wind just picked up, and I think it looked to me, and this is just a guess, but it looked like that wind picked up hard and pushed him hard into that ball, and he just came right through it and right across it.
You watched what Tiger did this year. He hit it to the left middle of the green. The pin's always in the same spot. It's always on the right.
He hit it way left.
He knows because that's the toughest. So many people have lost that tournament on that stretch of holes. So he just kind of bite the bullet. He's like, I'm going to hit away over here. I'm going to get par, and I'll probably pick up some strokes on the field.
And that's when Molinari.
That's what happened. Then Molinari went down, and then Brooks kind of went up, go down, and then that was a fun tournament to watch.
That shot at 16 that he hit was unreal.
Yeah.
That buttery draw.
Oh.
Tiger on 16 this year. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm still dreaming about that
he's
one.
He's still reminiscing in it. But, yeah, if you kind of look at it that way, it's just –
so
after you hit a shot.
So I'm going back to it. It's like, because you're not going to train a basketball player in the game of golf to improve their depth perception or improve their feel. Like, you're not going to take LeBron James, hey, LeBron, come out to the range. Obviously, Steph, I think, is a prime example of somebody that's been able to benefit his game from playing golf, or his game of basketball has benefited his golf game. Whatever it has been, he's performed pretty damn well in web events, getting some sponsor exemptions as a professional basketball player. Like, and
it's a side hustle.
And beating guys that are trying to do this professionally. Like, there's something going on in his dome that's not going on in those guys' dome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, he's a top-tier multi-championship, one of the best players in the NBA. So his mindset has got to be astronomically farther along than some of the guys that are trying to make it on the web. But I think that goes into the way that we instruct golf. Not so much instruct golf, but focus more so on technique and, like, overall breaking down the golf course more so than the mind. Like, you see some of these guys on the mini tour, like, they come out and
They're all
let's say there's six over after nine holes in a qualifier. A lot of these guys just go deuces.
Yep. Next week, let's see what to do.
I've mentally checked out a mini tournament. I remember my first one back after 10 years. I was like,
yeah,
I was pretty much checked off after four holes. I was six over through like four holes. I was like, fuck this, I'm done. I want to go drink a beer.
What's the next tournament? Where can we go?
Yeah, and it wasn't like I think I shot two over 300 the day before and shot 87 in the tournament. I'm like, there's not that much that changed in my technique and my ball striking skills or my body or anything like that. But it was nerves. It was my dome. My head was going in like crazy. I remember I took a shot at Jack Daniel. No, it was Jameson. One or two shots because I was so damn nervous. It was my first tournament back in 10 years. I'm like, first, I didn't want to make an ass of myself.
That actually nails it on the head. You cared too much on what other people thought about posting a score. Exactly.
Yeah, posting a
people
score.
Playing in that are nervous to play in ladies league or something because they're new to golf. They're literally terrified because they don't want to post a score. They don't think they're good enough.
Yeah.
Or have you had people to where they don't think they're good enough to take a golf lesson.
Like, yeah. Hey, let me,
oh, yeah, let me work on it for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Let me work on this for 3 weeks, and then I'll come see you. Like, that's the whole process of learning.
Yeah, like, come see me.
Come see me now. Otherwise, you're going to have shitty skills you're just ingraining, and you're literally wasting your time.
Yeah. And your money.
Yeah, so they
like, care. We don't want to. I'm not doing this to try to make money off people. I'm doing this to try to make people better at golf.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I'm sitting here. You're paying me to judge you.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. But that goes into a lot with tournament golf because I've played a lot of practice rounds. The day before, I'd shoot 35, 100, 200, whatever. And then the next day is the tournament, shoot 81.
Yeah.
Don't know where the ball is going. It's going left, right. You get the ball going two ways. Oh, good luck.
No, you're not going to have not very much fun out there.
Unless you play like Lee Trevino, then you just aim left, block it. Honestly. True.
Yeah.
You figure that's out all, I mean, how to
you
do
wouldn't
it.
Find majors doing that. Mm-hmm. You would never teach anybody to do that.
I would.
No. I mean,
like mentally not. No, but
mentally,
I don't think most people would.
But like, you're like a technique sense. You're not going to sit there and teach that technique to somebody.
Of just hitting straight blocks.
Yeah, I'm gonna have myself aim 40 yards left and then push block everything. I mean, he was a tremendously good wedge player.
Right.
Tremendously good wedge player.
But that's one thing I don't think a lot of people do, recreational players, that have a shot that they can go to.
But even if you look at taking away his technique, look at Lee's mind and how he talked about the game. Like, it's a different level. He's like, I'd play money games, and it's like, you don't know pressure until you're playing for $5 with no dollars in your pocket.
Yeah, like, that's a great way to simulate it.
Like, that's a great way to like deal with pressure and deal with that. And that's where I think golf can really, truly benefit other athletes.
Is yeah,
that,
absolutely.
That training, that thought process, and how you're able to now getting people into those mindsets. That's gonna be the challenging part to kind of
taps into a different part of the brain to get that more active and kind of go through those experiences.
Yeah. Because just like anything else, the more comfortable you all are, the easier it is.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Like LeBron James playing in a finals. I'm sure he's pretty comfortable playing in a final.
Yeah, in front of a crowd. Totally comfortable. Yeah.
What, he's played nine championships so far in his career? 9, 10?
Yeah, the people, they don't make him uncomfortable.
No.
Same thing with the
he's going to go out there
events.
And put up 40 points.
Yeah, people hitting balls. I mean, there's no difference between if 10 people are watching you or a million and it's televised. That, like, once you do it so often, then you become comfortable with it and you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And then if you could somehow just have more awareness, really, just when you're on the golf course, when you play bad,
why you play bad,
yeah. And what you can do different instead of trying to change technique.
Yeah. And or clubs.
Like, you try and buy the game as well.
I was going to go buy a new set of golf clubs because I played like garbage today. It doesn't make sense because you played great yesterday with the same set of golf clubs. Mm-hmm. Like, I just had literally people come in all the time. I just had my best round ever next day. Shot 85 next day. I got a new set of golf clubs.
Yep. Shot 73 and then...
I'm like, what? Huh?
Like,
you're the same
difference
person.
Difference between like learning and performing.
Yeah.
Like, you're just... Some days you perform different and stuff, but then like, are you actually learning anything or just you're going to have days where you shoot whatever, 85 and then you shoot 74... That's not learning.
Yeah.
You're just performing different.
Probably my last, I would say, 10 rounds, myself personally, scoring-wise, has been like mid-70s. But my game's better than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
Like, that might not make sense to anybody. Like, it's very, very close to going and just everything clicking all at once. That was that Gary Vee sound right there.
Right?
Did you hear that?
Drop it down. That's where I saw the same thing. JT posted something. He's like, I'm very close to winning.
Yeah. No, I posted it yesterday.
Or you posted it.
I was like, I told you, I don't pick these people for no reason.
That's the difference between, we're getting first place. It's very, very small, and it's really just the difference between what happens in your mind. Because he's not changing his swing or changing his ball. He's not changing his putting stroke.
His technique really hasn't changed. I mean, he's gotten better hitting the golf ball. But, like, if you look at a swing from yesterday, from 15 years ago, there might be some intricacy, like, change.
Yeah.
Very, very minute. But it's not like a golf swing overhaul. Like,
no, and it's just really what he changed is between the years.
Yeah.
It's where something, I don't know him personally, but something kind of.
Something clicked in the year he just went off. He went in China. And it just seemed like he started controlling his flights better than he has in the past. Like,
hey, he's hitting shots.
He's been able to control. Shots. It wasn't, I need to hit everything as hard as I possibly could all the time. And then look at that. You start winning.
Yep.
Like, he started winning tour events instead of just going out and hitting as hard as he possibly could the whole time. Like, I think that's where the mindset of the game of golf is right now, from an amateur level all the way even to the mini tour professional levels. Is everybody wants to be able to just hit it as far as they possibly can down there and then gouge it out, which didn't make sense. You can go super low, and these guys in the smaller tour events that were leading up to the Open.
Yeah, the Midwest swing and stuff like that, where, you can bomb it over there. It's driver wedge,
Gouge and pouch, and just boom, next thing you know, you're 30 under.
There's no course strategy to that.
No.
It's just hit it as far as you can, wedge it out.
And then you go into the courses where the guys have to be strategic, and, like, the players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The players is a beautiful tournament, a beautiful golf course.
Can't overpower that one,
No, you can't. You have to hit shots.
You have to hit shots and stuff. That's what's way cooler than trying to hit it. Average 380 drives is cool. not impressed.
Let's see what wedge it from there. Yeah, exactly. Next thing you know, you blow it 40 yards over.
Yeah, to where, I don't know if they could change golf courses or just make it more difficult. I'd just narrow the fairways. I think that would be more interesting if the fairways were, because there's just a lot of fairways on the TPC courses that are wide.
Yeah.
Get that more narrowed up, and then I think that'll draw back that distance.
Then you need to increase the rough and things like that, too. Mm-hmm. What was it?
Shinnecock?
What was the U.S. Open, not last year, but the year before? Was it last year? Was it the U.S. Open or the PGA? I'm trying to think right now.
Which one? Were the roughs?
It was the one with the all kind of more elevated greens, all shaved off tiers around.
Oakmont.
Was it Oakmont?
Yep.
Yeah, that was, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. I don't think it was Oakmont.
Regardless.
Anyway, I was talking. I played golf with Joe, Ricky's caddy. It was the same year, a couple weeks after that tournament, and he's like, "That's just a good golf course." He's like, "If they made the PGA Tour golf courses more like that golf course, these guys would. You'd see these scoring averages go down, and then they would not be able to go out there and just overpower every golf course because there's so much more strategy that goes into."
I'd rather watch that. The tour probably wants them to shoot 20.
They want to see birdies. They want to see pars.
I want to see them pars. Granted for pars.
I want to see the average winning number on tour be between 10 and 15 most weeks.
Yeah, kind of like what the majors are.
Like 23, and then the majors back between. I don't want to say six, like below five, but like six to 12.
Yep.
Like the majors, and that way
you shoot 68. That's like a hell of a score.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Shane Lowry played absolutely unreal on Saturday this year. And that golf course was playing. That was one of my favorite Open Championship golf courses that I've seen, and I think that was one of the first ones they played there, isn't it?
I think so. You'd have to dig deep in the archives.
And that was a beautiful golf course, mm-hmm. And it just played perfectly for the Open.
Yeah.
Where you do have an opportunity if you do. Hit the shots that you're supposed to hit and play the course how it's supposed to be played. You have an opportunity to shoot a 63 in comparison to the other guys that are.
And there's a lot of courses
eight over.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of courses too that just fit players' eyes. So the win there. This Tiger has a lot of them.
Yeah.
Firestone, the state of California, Memorial, where he's won six times or whatever, there's a lot of golf courses that, and even like I like certain golf courses, like I'd rather play there because it's easier. No matter what my game is at that level, I can play better at that. Yeah, I can just play, I can hit the shots easier than like something like a Mesa Country Club compared to Troon Country Club, where it's desert, narrow, target golf. Compared to something like where your trees, you can hit shots, punch shots.
Going back to Michigan playing golf compared to playing out here.
Exactly. Going out here, it's just targets. Boom. You see a lot of desert, and you can't miss a left or right off the tee.
Yeah.
So it kind of, boom, puts it more in strategy there. Kind of both of them.
No, it's a just different type of strategy. It's more like you really just can't miss big out here.
No.
Like, that's why Hopper plays good out here because I don't think I mean that guy's golf swing is just beautiful and he doesn't
go left and right a lot.
It's not gonna go big off
not like 50 yards course. Offline
like, and his golf swing's pure.
Play a lot too.
Yeah, he plays
that helps. If you play a lot, there's a correlation to that.
But yeah, I think that would be the biggest thing that golf can truly impact other sports more so than the athleticism that we keep talking about. It's like, no, you're going to get more athletic skills from playing other sports.
Yeah, it brings in more of that right side brain to where you have to get more creative.
Yeah.
Get creative.
Getting into the flow state, and different people get into that state differently. Like, I know Greg Rose was talking about the focus band, and he couldn't get the focus band to work until he started thinking more analytically. In which the focus band really, from my understanding, I don't know a bunch about it, but it's supposed to be that creative.
The creative
side. The soft eyes and the concentration. And as people think differently and they get in the flow states differently. So I don't want to say it's like all right brain, because there are probably people that get right left brain that are able to understand that stuff a little bit more.
But you need more to be a better player if you have more right brain, that creativity.
But even learning that in the game of golf and transfer that to tennis.
Yep.
Like, instead of overpowering everybody.
Then it's like, boom, you could set somebody up like five shots. Like, I'll hit it on baseline, then I'm going to hit short, then I'm going to cross court. Then it's like, okay, cool. Then I got them cross court all the way down there. Then I can hit my kill shot from there.
Yeah. And probably even some of the mannerisms that you might see prior to that, even like when they're standing there ready, waiting to return to serve.
Yeah,
like,
if he looks fatigued or something or off balance a little bit, just hit it outside. Yeah. Or hit it down the line. If he's sitting way on the outside, just hit one flat down the middle because it's going to be more difficult for them to get to it.
Yeah, and that's just something that doesn't get talked about very much.
No. The one I've learned the most would be Dr. Brett McCabe.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get him on here sometime.
Hey, we can ask him.
We'll ask him. We'll see if he can chime in a little bit because he has a way better understanding of that whole thing because he coaches a lot of.
I think he's also a doctor in psychology,
exactly.
Isn't he?
Exactly. I'm just a doctor in golf instructions.
So I'm just a doctor in Kurt.
Just doctor of life.
Kurt's life.
Exactly. Because a lot of those guys, once you get to web.com level, there's not much that changes ball striking wise.
They can all hit the same shots. I mean,
yeah. From there, it's putting contest and where your mind's at.
Yeah, really. That's it. It's just
completely different though from your recreational player. They're not even.
No, they need technique skill. They need striking skill and things along those lines. Like,
yeah, or just kind of make it easier how to play the game. Like, if you slice it, just aim left and just play it that way.
Yeah.
And then try and fix your slice on the range. Just see somebody instead of trying to figure it out with different tips that won't help you out. You know, because everybody's different. Yeah, 5 steps to never slicing again in your life. Yeah. Like, you're gonna learn how to slice it, or you already know how to slice it. You can't get rid of that motor pattern. Yeah. You can create new motor patterns to learn how to hit hooks, but that slice is gonna be there in your entire life. You can't kill it.
It's never going away.
Nope.
It's in that dome forever.
I know. It's like the brain, I was going to post it probably tomorrow, about how the brain's just like a book of a library of books.
Yeah.
You know, there's library's huge. You have some crappy books, some good books here. So you got bad skills, chunked top shots and stuff. And then you peered one time 5 years ago. So both those books are in there. But if you train differently, neuramuscular patterns...
Remember that one time I hit that last ball
on the range, hit it great, then first tee, boom, goes left, you're in the trees. But moral of the story is you can keep adding books to your bookshelf and make your library better.
Yeah.
You're always going to have the other ones there.
Yeah, you just got to make the crappy books big.
Yeah, exactly. If you make the books, they're going to stay the same spot.
The pure shot books, yeah, big.
The good ones, you want them to be like a huge encyclopedia.
So it just takes time to get those skills, get those striking skills. And that's what the other sports can really truly help in the game of golf is the feel, the
just even learning how to bounce the ball on the club. Yeah, just
all
that.
Those, all the physical skills.
That's hand-eye coordination. That's what I had one of my juniors do. Just bouncing it. Just like, what are we doing? We're bouncing a ball, but this is getting you better golf skills because guess what? You have a golf club and you have a ball, and we're trying to hit it or swing it. So if you can bounce it here, you have some more sense of awareness where the ball's at in space, where the club's at in space, what your hands are doing. And then when you try and hit the ball, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
That's why you can hit the ball off 1 foot. You can hit it with my right hand only, left hand only. Left foot only, right foot only.
Yeah, you understand.
No feet. Yeah, no, exactly. I know how to
understand where the ball is in space and
where the club head is. Yeah. Exactly. To where a lot of the weekend warriors, they have no idea where the club's at the top. They have no spatial awareness of where the club's at and how their body moves.
They have no spatial awareness of their bodies most of the time. What'd that one feel like to you?
I don't know. All right, let's hit another one.
See if you feel any different.
Whole shot reactions. See, they can't give themselves the answer of like, something that's good. Most of it's negative results because they're topping it. Boom, 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 boom. Then you hit a really good one. What happened? I don't know. So is that performing or is it learning?
True.
Performing.
Yeah.
So being able to get them to learn, be like, okay, this is why you did it. And then let's train you how we can give you a new shot. Instead of trying to fix it, we're going to teach you a different shot on how you could use this someday on the golf course.
Yeah.
Maybe you might use that all the time.
Yeah, maybe just change. Maybe stop hitting slices and start hitting hooks.
Yeah, exactly. Just aim right and turn your shoulders
right
8 degrees to the right. Hell, 10 degrees to the right.
They don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Aim them to the right. Drop your right shoulder back. Yeah, because they're so fearful that way. But that's how you change the path, and that's going to get your grip stronger. So, well, hello. We just changed your grip and your setup position, so now you have an opportunity to hit a different ball flight.
Yeah, that's all we are.
That's all it is.
To hit different ball flights.
Yep. Wow. So get your way around the golf course. Strategize.
Strategies. Strategizations.
I don't know if that's a word.
The comfortness. The comfortness level's high with that one. That's not a word either. I made it up in the morning one time when I was half asleep with Jimmy. Comfortness. You have anything else you want to talk about today on comfortness aspects of things?
Yes, become comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, there we go. Lack of comfortness.
Lack of comfortness. That's where you want to live. If you live there, then you're growing and you're going to be a better person.
There you go.
At all aspects.
That's all you can
Basketball,
do.
Basketball, golf, work, develop patience. It's a game. The people who play it at the highest level have their coaches traveling with them.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You come see me once a week, maybe once a month. I'm not going to give you a magic pill. There's nothing. I am.
It's going to be made of sugar.
Have this magic pill.
And then it's going to change.
And then let's aim your shoulders right.
It's going to change this little thing in your dome.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to think that you can actually perform what we're trying to get you to perform because you keep telling yourself you can't.
Yeah, exactly. They're so fearful. I just want to hit the ball. I want to hit the ball. No, well, let's learn how to swing the club and let the ball get away the club. But that's a whole different. I mean, these guys have teams that travel with them. Their physios are... They're personal trainers.
They're doing everything in their possible that they're able to move somewhat similarly to what they moved yesterday and the day before over and over again.
Practice rounds, they're mapping out the golf courses too. And I mean, when's the last time you went on a golf course and dropped balls and hit balls to putts to different pin locations?
Oh, I do it all the time. I just don't remember what they moved the pins to.
And so they have an idea. Yeah, I know exactly. But preparing yourself, I mean, people just benefit from learning that way.
Yeah.
Green reading skills, because then if you putt better, you're going to shoot lower scores.
Yeah. People have no idea how to read greens. Then you get...
No. Going back to spatial awareness.
I'd probably say 10 and 8 handicaps and above. There's some guys that putt just tremendously well.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks the greens are 12s.
They're 12s. Do you even know what a 12 rolls at compared to a 9.5?
You would hit it off the green.
Yes. Or 11. It's the same guy who hits a 7 iron 150 yards.
Everybody hits a 7.
Everybody's been doing that for decades.
Actually, you hit a 7 iron by like 185 now with all these 7 irons turning into 8.
You play TaylorMade. I mean, TaylorMade's marketed every single year, I think, since 2003. 5 yards more, 9 yards more. 13 yards more. Rocket balls, you're going to gain 20 yards. So if you accumulate that, you'd hit the ball like 400 yards.
Right, 400 yards more than more what,
than what we're already doing, according to TaylorMade's advertising.
So if I tee off on number one, it's going to land on the second green. That's going to be tough to play number one.
You better chip it down there. You'll half swing it.
Better hit wedges.
Mm-hmm. It's a game of speed.
It's a game of speed. All right, brother. That was always fun.
Always fun. Talk about the mind. Learn how to.
Yeah.
Breathe. Maybe we'll talk about breathing one of these times. Yeah, a little Wim Hof, accessing the mind.
Accessing the mind.
A little bit deeper.
I was going to say, it's like,
cars. Well, because they're like, hey, can I want to be able to just turn off my mind. You can't turn off your mind, otherwise you'd be dead.
It's true. Don't die.
Don't die. Don't just go dying on me.
Don't just go dying.
We'll learn how to access it, maybe, and just create a different thought process, post-shot reaction.
Yeah.
What you can learn from it. What you can change.
Yeah. Tells you a lot.
Tells you a lot. Maybe think about next time you slice it in the water. Do you really want to buy Pro V1s, or should I get Project A's?
Should I spend $15 for the sleeve or $10?
So I can play a Project A's and still slice in the water. Doesn't matter.
It's pretty easy.
It's easy. Just have an open club face to the path and hit it hard, and that's a high slice to the right.
There you go. Water. Water ball. Water ball.
I always talk about slicing, too, because like 70% of golfers slice it. And for some reason, we talked about this a while ago about other sports, how there's no really guidelines. There's guidelines for other sport training, but for golf, it's kind of swing your swing. There's a thousand ways you can swing. Yes, there is. But you should have some...
There's a thousand different ball flights that come from those swings. What kind of ball flight are you trying to hit?
Exactly. Then it's like, oh, their body's so personal. But like, if you were to coach somebody on how to hit a jump shot, would you put them through a physical assessment? No. Be like, oh, you got a frozen right shoulder, so let's have your elbow be 40 degrees out to the right, and you're going to jump off your left foot more.
Sure. If it goes in, it goes in.
Yeah,
then exactly. You get Lonzo Ball.
I think there should be some more guidance. Not really more guidelines, but... A little bit closer.
Just a bigger understanding of
swing type.
What you're actually supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all good.
It's for a different day.
We'll talk about that another day.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Until next time.
Until next time, Jazz. We appreciate you.
Stay classy.